The Gospel of John is known to be packed with signs and symbols, and this particular Gospel reading here is also packed with signs and symbols. And if I was to go over all of them, we'd be here for probably another 2 or 3 hours. I don't think you want to be here that long. Or maybe you do. I don't know. But I will keep it within my regular 10 minutes. So I will mention, I will talk about a few of the things in this Gospel. A wedding feast is the setting here, and that's not because it just happened to be where Jesus performed his first public miracle. You know, it's not all about the locale, okay? He performed his first public miracle at a wedding feast. No. The reading starts out in a curious way. It says, there was a wedding at Cana in Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Period. And then it goes on to say, Jesus and his disciples were also invited to the wedding. Kind of like an afterthought. Wouldn't it be better to say that Jesus was there with his disciples and Mary, the mother of Jesus, was also invited? Might sound a little, you know, a little more reverent, whatever, something we might expect, but not necessarily. Mary is mentioned first and then Jesus because Mary's relationship to the couple, and I mean that in the sense of Mary's relationship to all couples, is of vital importance to us. So there is an application here, if we look at it, for all of our families and for us who are single as well. How right it is that a couple and their children maintain the life of Jesus Christ in their home by honoring his mother. And of course we can do that in the most favorite of way, in the way that she loves us to, is by praying her rosary. Because when she is invited and then honored, there her son Jesus will be found always, close, very close to her. Just as he shows up with his disciples at this wedding, where it seems Mary is really the key guest. She is the reason that Jesus was invited. Something else. Did you notice that the name of the couple being married is not even mentioned? It's kind of odd. Let's just say your son or daughter was going to be married and the wedding invitations were sent out. You looked at the front of it and didn't even have their names on it. You'd probably say, what's up with that? I don't want this. Let's get them remade. Well, the reason for that seems to be that the Holy Spirit wants to show us that the events that took place at this particular marriage symbolize, there's that word symbol and sign, symbolize something much more for all of humanity. Something that includes yet is beyond this particular couple that we see here. The only names that we do hear are those of Mary and Jesus. No other names. This particular marriage is setting the stage for what happens between the Son of God incarnate and all of humanity. All of humanity here is represented first by Mary, who in her immaculate conception was the first of all of us, all of humanity, to be born again in Jesus. And then by the servers who are instructed by Mary to do whatever he tells you. St. Augustine said that the marriage in this particular household in Cana somehow represents a much larger marriage between the Son of God and humanity, which is us. And that marriage is completed on the cross. Calvary is where the desire of God to permanently join himself to all of us in marital love is fully expressed. So what happens at this wedding is, again, much bigger than the marriage of this individual couple. This should, I think, help us to understand that much questioned response of Jesus to his mother when he says, "Woman, what is this between you and me?" Now, it sounds like a kind of a snarky comment, maybe a little impolite, a little put offish, something you wouldn't hear your son say to his mother. But what Jesus is really doing here is not that, That's not Jesus. He is giving her great respect by acknowledging her significant role in God's long-term plan for our salvation, and that is for her to be the new Eve, the new mother of all the living, the mother of all who will be born again in her Son through the waters of baptism, and that's all of us here. The original Eve, way back in the book of Genesis, because of her no to God, became the mother of all the lost. Mary now, because of her yes to God, places herself at the front of humanity, where she will continually intercede for us as a loving mother does for her children. But there's something else. In Jesus' response, he's also expressing the love of a son for his mother. Let's not forget that. He knows that for both of them, what lies ahead like a dark storm approaching on the horizon is his passion and his death, and also the sword that will pierce Mary's heart. And out of his very human love for her, he's reminding her of this and of the cost it will be for both of them. He's concerned about her. But also, out of his divine love for her, he's also reminding her of the joy that lies beyond it all for her and for all of humanity. So in answer to his question, what is this between you and me? It is the world's salvation, our salvation, nothing more and nothing less. So how about that miracle? The high point of this gospel. It's one of those silent ones, isn't it? We hear nothing about the look of the water or the wine, only the taste of the wine afterwards. The miraculous transformation that happens comes as a quiet surprise as the servant hands a cup of it to the head waiter for him to taste. And so the text ends by saying, this miracle manifested Jesus' glory to his disciples. Glory. Glory need not be the result of thunder and lightning, healings, or other dramatically visible miracles that we usually associate that with. It can be the result of those normal, day-to-day miracles of love within the family and among friends. Like a child being born, a father sacrificing for the safety and the care of his family, the exchange of wedding vows between a man and a woman, siblings caring for their elderly parents, or a community coming together to support someone who has just lost a loved one. The glory of God touches us personally and in many, many ways if we are open to it. This morning, all of us are present for another quiet miracle, the one that will soon happen on this altar. And we are invited to open to the glory that will be revealed. At the wedding feast of Cana, Jesus made better wine than all of the guests had drunk at the outset. And he did that to symbolize that the new wine, which is his blood in the Eucharist, is better than anything we will ever have drank or will drink. So in a few moments, we'll encounter Calvary at this altar. And we have the privilege of being in attendance at the wedding between God and humanity, standing at the foot of the cross where Jesus gives his life for his bride, us, in sacrificial love. May our hearts be softened and warmed by this miracle, and may we perceive the glory of divine love and give ourselves to it more fully than ever before.